Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Looking for an affordable new home? Wyndham Mobile Homes is what you need. Discover all our spacious models, perfect for every lifestyle. Your dream home is waiting. Visit Wyndham Mobile Homes in Corinth today or online at wyndham-homes.com.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in, friends and gardeners. Thank you so much for deciding to make the Garden Mama Show part of your weekend or your day or your morning or your evening or, I don't know, a stroll in the afternoon. Someone told me this week that they download the previous week because they work on Saturday. They download the week's broadcast and then go walk their dog. So I think that's a perfectly fine way to get a little gardening in. How y'all doing? Thank you very much for all that. Good morning, Lance. What's going on today?
Oh, it'll be a fun day in the world of radio and broadcast. Always is on a Saturday. I get to start my day with my fave, the Garden Mama, and then, you know, got some handymanning to do and some baseball to talk and some ball games to work. And
The schedule is jammed, so I think you're running all of them. So
that might be fun. I told Dixon, I said, let me do it.
Take the day off. Well, I'm here to announce that Lance and I, he doesn't know this, are once again having a squash off. We're going to grow squash this year.
I hope mine
does better. This is just to show you that even people that can't grow things try to grow them just to see if they can. This particular variety, though, I was happy to receive quite a few seeds from my friends at the All America Seed Selections, and this is one of those that is in the winning bunch. I just really like winter squash. I like summer squash. You know, I can't grow summer squash anymore. Used to be able to do that all the time. Still grow zucchini pretty well, but last year was kind of a flop. What did I get? Two zucchinis off that whole vine? That was not enough.
You got two more than I did.
It's not enough.
Mine looked great. It was doing everything it was supposed to do, and I talked to it and watered it and, you know, had it in the sun the right way. Then
100 degrees.
Then 100 degrees. Yeah. Just melted it.
It was not really ready.
Yeah, it seemed ready. I mean, it was such a beautiful plant, though.
That's the other thing we're going to run into with this, because the winter squash are much longer. The summer squash, if you're growing yellow crookneck, for example, or even if you're growing zucchinis, and some of the hybrids between them, you know, there's some really pretty green and yellow striped squashes and stuff. But all of those are maybe 60, maybe 70 days at the most from seed to fruit. In this case, though, the winter squashes, whether it's the butternuts or the acorn squashes or this one, which is one of the sort of a turbans, it's a kabocha winter squash. These are all grown in hot weather, but they're called winter squash because they have hard shells and can be stored for longer. So that's why it was considered winter squashes. The other ones, of course, as we all know, really don't last very long. You better eat them or pickle them or do something quickly.
What would have been the problem of mine never really getting to the point of building the squash? It looked like it had started, and it just never would.
I think the temperatures just got away.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do. They can grow, but sometimes there are restrictions on how much. And we're also trying a different fertilizer this year that you don't know. So
okay, good.
We're going to do that.
I'm game.
I'm determined to get these. They're really cute. You know, the seeds come from my friends at Johnny Select Seeds via the All America Selections folks.
Well, the seeds were great. It wasn't them. It was me.
Those were Renee's. Well, those were Renee's last year, and they were terrific.
But we
didn't have the weather for it. I don't know how to tell y'all this, but it's time to spring forward already.
Yeah, I was hoping that I wasn't an hour late today.
Not today.
Like it is
not
today,
until
is
tomorrow.
It?
Not until tomorrow. Really good question to start us off this morning from Starkville. And I have two pieces of answer for this, as a matter of fact. Good morning. I want an evergreen to screen the air conditioner from the street on the east side of the house. What do you suggest? So I suggest a couple of things, particularly because you're in Starkville, I always want you to go to the Oktibbeha Co-op and check them out because they've always got cool stuff. And they're also very aware of native plants. Now, so that what I have sent to him is a listing from MSUcares.com of native plants for Mississippi landscapes. This would also apply to my friends here in Alabama and my friends in Louisiana for the most part. Not everything, but for the most part. So check those out. And I'm going to tell you that I think it's a really great opportunity to plant something that you may not have thought of. And that's some of these evergreen hollies and some of the native plants that are just a little bit different. You don't want to plant anything prickly. These are soft-leafed hollies. You don't want to plant things that are really sharp, like Mahonia or Burford holly or any of that, around an air conditioner, because somebody's going to have to come around there and service it, and you just as soon not scratch them up, much less yourself, because you'll probably be the one doing it eventually. But there are things like, there are quite a few of those. And during the morning today, I think this would be a good day for us to talk about shrubs, big shrubs. We always think about Eleagnus for this kind of use. Although it is not a native, it's a really good one because it's so rugged and so evergreen, and you can prune it to whatever shape you need to keep it the distance right from the air conditioning system. So if you've got a suggestion, let me know and we'll pass it along, okay? Oh, today at supertalk.tv, I have an explosion of variegated leaves going on in my big room in my house, and I wanted to show some of them to y'all today. And perhaps even better, although it's 2 months late, the beefsteak begonia that generally blooms in January has finally flowered and now has put on seed, so I've added that. I want Lance to build this gate for me. Isn't that cool? I have all the old tools in the world. So if you're going to make the slats out of old tools, I've got that.
If you turned them over, you could use them.
And if you needed to, you could certainly rip them out of there and just put them to work. But it's a really nice day for all that. I appreciate Trey has sent us his generally good morning thing, and which is just always so true. Gardening requires a lot of water, most of it in the form of perspiration. This is true.
This you is talking about last true. Year especially.
And he's right. Somebody sent me this week all of the signs in your that what you would put in your garden, like plant tags, except they say things like, I have no idea what this is. You know, I forgot this plant. I didn't plant this plant. All of these. He's got wristbands, Trey has today, that say, water my plants. I'm not sure if that's to remind you or if it's to remind someone else in case you fall out someplace. But either way, it's good to know that you need to do that. Thank you for those today. Do snapdragons grow well in zone 8 during the summer? That's from Kathy. I have to tell you, Kathy, I would have said no for many, many years, because actually the snapdragon group, the Antirrhinums, are not heat tolerant. And frankly, it took the 100-degree weeks, however, to kill the one that had been blooming off and on for about 2 years in the same place in my flower bed. So they're not heat tolerant necessarily. But I will tell you that there are more and more being bred for that in every case, just like I talked about last week, the lobelias that can last a little longer into the summer. And in this particular case, I know there are snapdragons that do a little bit better as well. But they are not a summer plant for us. Our nighttime temperatures are really just too hot. But that's not to say you're not going to get some. The bed that this particular one grew in has dianthus and has some bunch of perennials and some gladiola bulbs and a few other things like that, with really not too much competition. And I think that's partly why it's a little bit of a shadier location. It still has plenty of sun to bloom, but it didn't get any afternoon sun. And frankly, that part of the garden doesn't heat up as quickly as, say, the front garden does, where the sun hits it first thing in the morning. So it stayed there for two or three years and bloomed off and on, but the 100 degrees finally took it out. So that's a good one. Came upon this. Oh, I'm going to look at that, okay? Well, the fuzzy green stuff is one thing, and I think the other bark damage is something else. But I'm going to look a little closer at that, Donald. Donald's in Oxford with a tree bark. Arkansas, rather, black apples. Love those. Love, love, love those apples. Very, very wonderful. Let's hop over on the phone, talk to James in Clinton. Welcome in. Thank you for calling today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, we've got an old house when we moved into it, and there are azaleas all over the place. Some of them are doing okay, but a bunch of them are just, they're old, they're raggedy, and I think there's a way, can I cut them back and they will come back, you know what I mean, because they're scraggly looking, and they just won't, they're just not blooming.
The good news is...
I fertilized, but they're not, I fed them, but...
Okay.
You know, that didn't do any good.
When did you feed them?
They're too big to really get out. They're too, just too big to move.
Yeah. When did you feed them? When did you feed them?
This was late last spring when I
okay.
knew they
Perfect.
Weren't going to bloom.
Well, that's and then you see they got you did exactly what you should do. And then, of course, we had 100-degree weather, and then we had a drought. So they didn't get to use that fertilizer till this winter. It's been sitting there waiting for some water to activate it, I would imagine. You may see a little bit of result from that. You may not. The good news is you knew when to do it, and you did it at the right time. Now, the best part about azaleas is that they are, for the most part, I know Clinton. I can see your yard in my head, and I know that those things are probably – oh, gosh, some of them are as big as Volkswagens, you know, and they're old, and they've got big, thick stems in the middle of them and all that stuff. The good news is some of them are going to bloom, and you don't have to do anything to any of them until after that point. The ones that are clearly dead all the way to the ground, that's a different matter. If you go down and do a scratch test right down close to the soil level and it's brown, you can cut that down now. If you may want to replace it, you may want to put something else in there. But the others that are kind of iffy, let them go ahead and try to bloom. And then at the point where maybe the neighbors bloom or where some of them have bloomed and finished, then you're going to do any kind of pruning you want to do. You can cut those azaleas back by as much as half if it's necessary to get them into a shape that you like. You can also take out those whole big canes, and you should, because that will allow some more growth to come up from the bottom. And beyond that, it's just water and a little bit of regular fertilizer. But you can do what you might consider to be a real serious saw job on those things if necessary and take them down.
That's what I was hoping you would
so
say.
That,
yeah,
I will tell you a real quick story. I'm always fond of telling you things that I ended up having to do that I didn't intend to do. I'd been taught to prune azaleas gracefully with, you know, take off no more than one third ever. And certainly if it was an established group, prune them all exactly the same and get them just very, take the flowers off and just a little bit and all this, be very careful. And then I got a job on a movie where they said, okay, in 2 weeks, here's a Formosa azalea like yours, okay? The size of the entire front bed next to the front window of this lady's house. And they said, we have to put a camera platform on there. You need to cut that thing down. I took a deep breath. Said, okay, I'll be back here every week after that to get this thing to grow back. And sure enough, I cut it back. I mean, this was July. Cut this thing down. They put the camera on the platform there, did all that, did what they needed to do. I fertilized it. I set up a soaker hose so it would get water all the way the rest of the summer. And sure enough, it was fine. It bloomed the next year. The plant's still there. I go every year just to look at it to make sure it's still there. And it is, because it was such a big deal in my horticulture life.
Yeah.
So you can take them down, but afterwards you do have to put the soaker hose around them, give them some mulch, and make sure you continue to fertilize so that they can grow all summer to recover. Okay?
Thank you.
I look forward to the pictures.
Okay, great.
Thanks, bye-bye. James. Bye. That's really, it's a big project, and it's one that you hate to take on, but if it's not dead and you want to see if it can make it, you go ahead and See what you can do for it. I like that. Real, real smart. Crookneck squash. Oh, dear. Last year, Scott says he planted heirloom seed, and they all bloomed and never made any fruit. You didn't do anything. He says, what did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. What probably happened, because it does often, is that we don't get male and female flowers at the same time. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether they're heirloom or whether they're modern squashes. It's just one of those things that happens. So sometimes when you do get those going, you'll see that you have one good pollinaceous flower and all the rest of them are just sitting there. You know, that's the difference between male and female, of course, is that one is receptive and the other one produces. So if you can even find one flower that you can pollinate with, you can do that with a tiny little paintbrush or a swab or something like that and move the pollen yourself. So that's one thing. The other thing that I'm told happens sometimes in crookneck squash is that if the soil temperature is cool or too cool, that sometimes the sex of the flowers ends up being all one way or the other. And that doesn't make any sense to me, but I have been told that, so I'm passing it on to you. I would say plant more, because as long as you're getting them to bloom, you will get male and female flowers if there are enough plants. And it's not a matter, it's really not a matter of fertilizer. It's generally speaking a matter of the conditions in the temperature conditions you might say at the time of the planting, but sometimes it's also a little bit later on when the flowers are forming. So I'm going to tell you, somebody's going to send me a formula for some kind of fertilizer that you can do that will absolutely produce a comparable number of flowers. But generally speaking, the first round of flowers is all one thing or the other. And that's been both my experience and also my book learning has taught me that. So you didn't do anything wrong, Scott. Just plant more squash. I like that. Let's see. Oh, that's a good question. Amanda's in Pike County this morning planting raised beds for the kitchen garden, a potager. Yay. I do love that. I looked at my kitchen garden the other day and realized that it is strung out all over because it's all containers. And it is literally strung out all over the seating part of the area. And I put some things around the fire pit to keep them warm, put some other things over here, over there. No, you got to go fix that. So I have to do that this afternoon. She's got a Confederate rose in the way of one of the raised beds. How should I transplant it? And is it worth trying to save? If it has not leafed out yet, I would say cut it back and dig it up and replant it immediately and try and see if you can't get it to go. The other thing is that the canes that you cut off will root too. So I wouldn't have any problem. Even if it's huge, you need to get it out of the way. But I would cut it back a lot and then see if it can transplant. But those parts that you cut off, go ahead and put in some water and try and root those canes. That would be great. That would be a really good way to go, in fact, because then you'd have a whole bunch of them. I think about this time of year in both neighborhood and formalized plant swaps. When I first began my consistent travels through Mississippi, my family came every summer because my mother's family lived all over the state. And when we did that, all the plants were the same at everybody's house. I was real surprised later on to realize that it was because they all rooted them from each other and passed them around. I didn't know. It just seemed like home to me. Stick around now. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Because here to the great man, it's just a dirty, rotten waste of time. A shine. We move along, keep singing our song, straight to your heart like a cannonball.
It's prom season. From promposals to finding the perfect dress and choosing a stylish tux, teens all across our state are making big plans. That's why the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services and the Mississippi Highway Patrol are reminding students to have a safe and memorable prom by making smart choices behind the wheel. Don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, and do buckle up. Your school, family, and friends want you to please return on Monday in the same condition you left. Your choices today impact your tomorrow.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort, from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
Some days I cover
a Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.